If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Joel. I would like to read from Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, I would like to read the 14th verse. Before we begin to read and study from God's holy word, I would ask that you please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to call upon the one true and living God, the privilege to know that You're our Heavenly Father, that You love us with an everlasting love, and that nothing can separate us from the love of God. We thank You, Lord, for all the blessings of life. We know that our lives have been filled to overflowing with more blessings than we can ever count. We thank You for the food, clothing, and shelter that we have in such great abundance. We thank You for the privilege that we have to live in the United States of America. Thank You, Lord, for the freedoms that our forefathers have fought for. We thank You for the wisdom that You gave our founding fathers, and we pray that You would forgive us for the ways that we have been traitors to Thee and to our founding fathers in departing from the principles of righteousness upon which our nation was founded. And we pray that we might be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, that we might return and restore those principles of our nation that were based on the Word of God. We pray, Lord, that You would help all those who stand in special need of Thy help this day. There are so many that are sick and afflicted, and those who have family troubles and other problems, and we beg Thee in the name of Jesus Christ to help all of them and help us to know how to help them. Bless those that are on their beds of affliction and those that have terminal problems, we pray that You would be with them and help them and their families, that You would give them a special measure of Thy grace. Again, now as we come to try to study Thy holy word, we know that all of our efforts and labors are in vain without Thy blessings upon us. Thou hast taught us that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto our children, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? We ask Thee this day, in this hour, to fill us all with the Spirit of God, that we might be able to hear and understand and believe and obey Thy Word. Touch our hearts this day and help us that we might follow the teachings of Thy Word. We beg in the precious and holy name of our Lord and our Savior, our elder brother, the great high priest. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Reading now from Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3 and verse 14. The Word of God says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." I want us to think about there are multitudes. In fact, you know, the Word of God could have just said there's a multitude in the valley of decision. Once you say the word multitude, you immediately get a picture or an image of a great number of people. But instead of saying there's a multitude, He uses the plural expression and says multitudes. And I think you get a larger picture there of how many are under consideration when He says multitudes, and then He says multitudes, multitudes. That is, He reemphasizes the fact that there are so many people that are in the expression that's used here, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. There are a lot of valleys mentioned in God's Word. I've been amazed this week in looking and studying all the different valleys that are taught in the Word of God. There are about 150 to 170 times that the word valley is used, and most of those times, it's talking about one valley after another. It's talking about different valleys. And it's talking most of the time about natural valleys. What is, if you were going to define what a valley is, the dictionary describes a valley as a depression or a low area between two hills. And that's the picture that I want you to see this morning, is that there are these two hills or two mountains, and down below these two hills or two mountains, between those two hills, there is a valley. a great valley that contains multitudes of people. And I believe that though there is a literal lesson that's taught here, I believe there's a great spiritual lesson that there are multitudes of people, multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, what is a decision? Do we have a lot of decisions that we make in our lives? We have all kinds of decisions. Every day we make decisions. Now, sometimes we'll make a major decision, and that keeps us from having to make a lot of minor decisions. For example, if I make a decision to get a job, then I don't have to get up every day and wonder whether or not I'm going to work. If I've already made that decision that I'm going to get a job and I get a job, then I don't have to get up and say, now, do I need to go to work today or not? The decision has already been made. I have accepted a job. I've taken a job. And now it is my responsibility, because I have taken that job, it's my responsibility to get up. So sometimes we make one decision, a major decision, that then automatically precludes us from having to make a lot of daily decisions. But there are daily decisions that we still have to make. In all of our lives, we make a lot of decisions every day of our life. We make decisions pertaining to the natural things of this world, and we make spiritual decisions in our lives. We make decisions that sometimes do not have major consequences, but we make other decisions that have major consequences in our lives. So we need to think about decisions. And also, as we think about decisions, we need to think about sometimes people have difficulty making a decision. There are some people that, because of their makeup and their nature, they have a great difficulty making a decision. There are other people that, though they might not have trouble making a natural decision, there are other people that are pulled between one direction and another, and therefore they stay in a state of indecision. Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a state of indecision? Just one day you'd feel led in one direction, and next day you'd feel led to go in another direction. One day you'd feel led to do one thing, the next day you felt, no, that's not what I ought to do. I ought to go in an opposite direction. Well, I think that this particular picture here is talking about that there is a mountain on one side, and there's a mountain on another side, and there's a valley between them, and there are multitudes that are in that valley of decision, and really you could also call it a valley of indecision. They have not decided whether to go up that mountain or to go up the other mountain, and therefore they spend their time and they spend their lives in the valley of decision, trying to decide which mountain they're going to go up. Now, the two mountains that I want you to see and understand this morning is that there is a mountain of God and there's a mountain of the devil. There is a house of God and there's a house of the devil. The book of Proverbs makes it clear that there is a house of Satan, there's a house of the devil, and that there are evil ones, evil women that are always trying to get us to go into that evil house. But then there's the house of God, and the Spirit of God is guiding and leading and calling us to go to the house of God. So there's a mountain of God, and there's a mountain of the devil. There's a mountain of good and holiness and righteousness, and there's a mountain of evil and ungodliness. Now, I want to tell you this morning that I don't think that the majority of people are on either mountain. I do not believe that the majority of people, even in our wicked society today, I do not believe that the vast majority of people have decided that they're going to just dwell in ungodliness every day. I don't think there are many people that with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength have decided they're going to do what the devil says and they're going to follow the devil no matter what. I also do not believe that there are many people that are on the mountain of God who have said they're going to follow God and be committed to God and be dedicated in their service to God, no matter what it costs them in their lives. So there are very few, I believe, there are very few, in fact, the Scripture definitely says this, that there are very few on this mountain, the mountain of God, there are few on that mountain, and I believe there are few on the other mountain. Where are the majority of the people? They're in the valley of what? The valley of, we'll say the valley of decision, because but we're talking about they're just not decided. They haven't really. Some days they'll go up Mount Zion. They'll go toward God and they'll walk with God for a little while. But before they get very high up on that mountain, what do they decide to do? Is the devil always calling you? Have you ever tried to go up Mount Zion? Have you ever tried to do what's right and good? And all of a sudden you felt this little pull to go the other way. And so it is that God's people, they start doing what's right, and they start serving God, and before you know it, they begin to think about something over there, and the devil begins to call them, and the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life begins to lead them back, and they begin to go up this mountain, and they begin to go and walk with the devil and live ungodly. But before long, what happens? They begin to, if they're children of God, they begin to feel conviction because of sin and know that they're going in the wrong direction. And so then they decide, I must get back and do what's right. And they head back to the valley, through the valley of decision, and they begin to go back up the mountain of God. And they go a little ways up this way, but then they really spend most of their time where? Most of their time is down in the valley. One day they feel led one way, and one day they feel led the next. One day they follow one direction, and they head toward the mountain of God. The next day they turn around, and they head toward the mountain of the devil. And they stay in the valley. And listen now, the Word of God says multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I want to tell you, there are some people that have decided that they're going to go and live and dwell on the mountain of the devil. You know that? There are some people that have completely turned their backs on God and they have refused to do what God says. They've turned their backs on God. They've turned their backs on the church. They've turned their backs on the family. And they are dwelling on the mountain of the devil and they're not in a valley of decision. They have made up their mind. They're going the other way. And the devil has them. And there are others that are on the other extreme and that they have made up their mind. They have made a public commission, a public statement, a public declaration that they're going to follow God. And they have taken up their cross and water baptism and they are committed Christians. Now everybody who takes up their cross and water baptism, that's just the first step in going up the mountain of God. You're not going to be a Christian just because you publicly confess that Jesus is the Christ. Just because you're baptized, that doesn't get you out of the valley of decision. That gets you out of one step of the valley of decision. There are many people that have trouble deciding to do various things that God tells us to do, and they stay undecided all the time. But there are others that are really dwelling. You know, another expression that this mountain is called is Mount Zion or Beulah Land. Beulah Land. The kingdom of heaven, that's right. One of the songs that we sing says, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. You think that songwriter, was he in the valley of decision? No, he wasn't in the valley of decision. He had already made his decision. And he was determined that he wasn't going to give 1 ounce of his flesh to the devil. He wasn't going to yield one way to the devil. That every time the devil tempted him, he had made a commitment and a declaration, I am pressing on the upward way and new heights I'm gaining every day. Do you know you'll never really get to the ultimate top of that mountain? Did you know that? You and you're in this world, you cannot experience the though we get up close to the top of the mountain and we have mountaintop experiences, I don't believe you can ever reach a point in your life where you say, I've reached the goal, that I've overcome every temptation. But I believe that as long as you live, you can reach new heights every day. And I believe that ought to be the intent and goal and desire of our lives, is that we turn our back on Satan and we get out of the valley of decision, and that we go toward God and we keep our eyes fixed on Christ, and that we climb that mountain. Brethren, it takes work to climb the mountain of God. It takes energy, it takes effort, it takes labor for us to climb the mountain of God. And we need to pray, God, help me to get out of the valley of decision. Where are the multitudes? Multitudes. I believe many, many, many of God's children are still down in the valley. It's just like when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. Egypt was like that mountain of evil and ungodliness. And they came down, they were brought out of that mountain by God, and they began to dwell and go through the wilderness. That wilderness was like a valley. It was like a valley of decision. And every day they were faced with temptations and obstacles while they were in the wilderness. But they were headed towards Canaan land. And as they were headed towards Canaan land, Satan would continuously attack them. Satan would remind them of how good it was back there in Egypt. I'll tell you, if they were back there in Egypt, they wouldn't have wanted to be in Egypt. But they kept thinking about the few good things that were back there in Egypt. And the world is always calling us and luring us to go back there. But I'll tell you, sometimes God's people forget the hell they lived in when they stayed in the world. There's a real hell, brethren. There's a real hell. There's an eternal hell, but there's a hell for God's children while they live here in this world. And any child of God that turns his back and goes up that mountain, God's going to destroy his life. He's going to perish in the wilderness. But let me hasten to say also that any child of God that stays in the valley of decision, if we stay in the valley of decision, we likewise shall perish. Those children of Israel that got to the border of Canaan and they began to go in, or they sent the spies into the land, but they didn't go into the land of Canaan. They were afraid of the giants of the land. They were afraid of the walled cities, and they turned their back, and they did not go into the land of Canaan. They never made it back to Egypt. They perished in the what? They perished in the wilderness. What's the wilderness a type of? It's a type of the valley, the great gulf, the low depression between those two mountains. They did not enter Canaan land. They did not climb the mountain. They did not get all the way back to Egypt. They perished in the wilderness. And the Word of God says here, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord is near. You notice the next part of that verse? It says the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now what does that mean? The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Brethren, it means that God, when His people are in the valley of decision, that God will not tarry long. There's a point where God says it is too late for you to go up that mountain. There's a point where God will cut His people off and they will not be able to go up that mountain. You might not believe that, but if you don't, you please see me after church. Because I want you to know that there is a hell that God's people can live in here in this world. And it's not just, listen carefully, it's not just those that totally turn their back on God. It's those that get lukewarm and unconcerned and indifferent about their service to God. And they're in the valley of decision. No, they haven't gone completely back to the devil, but they're just staying in the valley of decision. They want to straddle the fence. They want to hold hands with God one day, but they want to hold hands with the devil the next, or the same day, really. You ever been in the valley of decision? You in the valley of decision right now? I pray that God will help all of us to get out of the valley of decision. See that the valley of decision can be just as dangerous as the mountain of the devil. God will destroy His people when they stay in the valley of decision. Go with me, please, back in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Please look in your Bibles at Deuteronomy chapter 30. I want you to see these two mountains. I want you to see the mountain of God. I want you to see the mountain of the devil. I want you to see that God has set that before us. The only people that really have this big decision to make are born-again children of God. Because before I'm born of the Spirit of God, I don't love the things of God. I don't know God. I don't think about the things of God. I don't want to climb Mount Zion before I'm born of the Spirit of God. But listen, if you love God this morning, it's an unmistakable evidence you've already been born of the Spirit of God. If you love God this morning, it's an evidence that God has already quickened you and made you alive. If you want to do what's right, The only reason you have that desire to do what's right is because God in His power has come and quickened you and made you alive. But brethren, just because God quickens us and makes us alive spiritually, He does not make us climb that mountain. And He does not keep us from going back to that other mountain. And He doesn't keep us out of the valley of decision. Once we're born of the Spirit of God, He says, "Now I have set before you life and death. I've set before you the mountain of God and the mountain of the devil. And there's this great valley between." And He says, I exhort you, I command you, choose what?" You know, I love to see those, there are a lot of, I believe in Florida, they have tags that say choose life. And they're talking primarily about abortion, and I am 100% against choosing. I'm 100% in favor of those signs that say choose life, and I'm 100% against abortion. But there's another choosing of life that we need to understand this morning besides just choosing for children to live, and that's the choosing of living that we children of God need to have in our lives. God gives you a choice. Did you know that? You've got a choice. Every day of your life, you have decisions to make. Every one of us. Sometimes we make wrong decisions, and we end up right back down in the valley. Sometimes I get down in the valley. You ever been down in the valley? A lot of times I'm down in the valley. You know what usually causes me to be down in the valley? I'm talking about right now, depressed, okay? You ever been down in the valley? Down in the dumps? Most of the time that I'm down in the valley and down in the dumps is because I have gotten away from God. And I need to be determined to get back on that mountain of God. Because when I'm on that mountain, I don't care what else is going wrong in my life. When I'm on that mountain, I have peace in my soul. When I'm on that mountain, when I'm on the mountain of God, when my eyes are fixed on Jesus and my heart is loving God, I don't care what else comes in my life, I still have peace in my soul. Because that mountain, the Word of God says that the kingdom of God, that kingdom of heaven, that Mount Zion, is a feeling of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I can lose everything I have in this world, but if I'm on that mountain, I can lose every material thing. I can lose all my family. I can lose everything else. But if I'm on that mountain, I'm happy in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. But if I'm down in that valley of decision and I haven't really made that commitment to be dedicated in my service to God, and I don't daily make that commitment, I'm going to stay in that what? Stay in that valley of decision, which is also a valley of depression. That's the word that the dictionary uses about what a valley is. It's a depression between the two hills. You depressed today? Let me say this. I am so thankful for the progress that some of you have made. I had one man this past week that told me, he said, "Brother Mullis," he said, I had a major problem with pornography. And he said, "When I started studying God's Word with you," he said, "I began to realize not only the joys I could have in the kingdom of heaven, but I realized the hell that I as a child of God would have if I continued to look at that." And he said, "Members of my family have been sick, and I've had all kinds of problems, and God keeps telling me the reason I'm having these problems is because I kept on looking at that pornography. Looking at women, look at pornography on the internet, looking at pornography on television, looking at magazines." I'm just talking about one particular. But here's what he said. He said, "Because of the truth that you have taught me about the hell that God's children can live in," he said, "I have made a decision. I am never again." He said, "About 2 months ago, I made a decision. I will not ever again look at pornography." Now, that dear brother needs your prayers. Did you know that? He's made a decision to get rid of something. And many of you have reached points in your lives where you have made decisions and you've gotten rid of something. There are those who have completely quit drinking. There are those who have quit smoking. There are those who have quit doing other things that they know are wrong because they have seen the hell that comes to God's disobedient children while they live here in this earth, and they've seen the joy that's up there. And so many of you, in fact, most all of you, have given up something and have quit things and have stopped being so lazy and stopped being so apathetic about your service to God. And I believe that most all of you have taken major strides toward getting out of the valley of decision. But listen, you don't just make one change and always stay out of the valley of decision. My experience has been this, that when I make a major change in my life and I turn away from something evil in my life, God just kind of lifts me up. Have you ever felt that when God just kind of lifted you up and you just really dwelt on Mount Zion? But then God will say, now, here's something else you need to look at. Here's something else. And I'm not ready to give that up. So you know what happens to my acceleration up that mountain? I just slide right back down. Back down in the valley of decision because there's something else that I'm not willing to give that up. And I want to always say, you know, I gave that other up. Lord, how much are you going to require of me? Everybody's due a little vice. And that's not true. That's a lie from the devil. Every little vice, every little sin is not going to stay a little sin. A little leaven will leaven the whole lump. We need to get out of the valley of decision. And every time God shows us something that's wrong, we better get away from it. Let me say something to you all very clearly. If you're committing fornication, if you're having sexual relations outside of marriage, be sure your sin will find you out. Be sure. God's going to judge you severely if you're having sexual relations outside of marriage. God will not allow His people to do stuff like that. It's an abomination in the sight of God. I don't want any of these teenagers to ever doubt. I don't want you to wonder what's going to happen to me if I commit fornication. I want you to know God will judge you severely for that. And there are some parents that are so liberal in their thinking that they don't make it clear to their children that if they go in that direction, that they're going to be put out of that house. Listen, brethren, parents have got some teaching they need to do in the home. But if you don't get it in the home, I want you to be sure you've heard it here. I'm responsible to be sure you know that you committing adultery or you committing fornication or anything else that God's Word speaks against, you doing that will result in God's severe judgment. And if you can't decide whether or not to get out of that valley of decision, or if you already headed up that other mountain, you better get off that mountain, you better get out of the valley of decision, you better head toward the mountain of God, or God will destroy your life. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Deuteronomy chapter 13, listen please, beginning in verse 15. In Deuteronomy chapter 13, we're talking about many multitudes in the valley of decision. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, the Word of God says through Moses. Now, we're going to see a pattern very quickly. We're going to go very fast for the next few minutes, but I want you to pay attention. Moses, through God, God through Moses says this. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 15, God says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. Do you see that those things are before you today? There's that mountain of life and good. And there's that mountain of death and evil. And then what's down between those two mountains? That valley of decision. Now, you've got some decisions to make today. I believe with all of my heart, if you're a child of God this morning, God has to be speaking to your heart about something that you're doing wrong in your life. And if you're thinking about somebody else that's got something wrong in their life, you better get on your knees and beg God to forgive you. Because there's not a person in this building that in some way or another is not in the valley of decision. There's not a person in this building that in some way or another doesn't need to turn away from something in your life. Not a one of us. Not a one of us. In one way or another, I'm in the valley of decision. Now, I may, in many other ways, I may be headed up that mountain, but there's some ways I'm still in the valley of decision. I better get out of the valley of decision. God set before us life and good and death and evil. Now, where does death and evil begin? On that mountain over there, right? I'm glad that your head's not... Don't let me lead you down a wrong path. Where does the hell come from? Multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision. And the day of the Lord. That day of the Lord is not talking about His final coming. It's talking about Him coming to judge His people while they live here in this world. And He says, the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. If I stay in the valley of decision, if there's anything God has shown me is wrong in my life, and I don't make a decision to get rid of that and turn from that, then God's judgment will come on me for that in my life. So God says, I've set before you life and good and death and evil. Come down to verse 19. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19, He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose. Do you have a choice to make? Do God's children have a choice to make every day of your life? Choose life. Can you choose death? Can you just stay in the valley and say, well, I'm not sure. Today I'll take life. 2 o'clock, I'm going to go over to death for a while. I'm going to take life for a while. I'm going to go to this mountain a while. I'm going to run over here to this mountain a little while. Just do a little on this mountain. I'll be right back, Lord. I'll be back a little later. I'll come back this afternoon. I'll come back Sunday, Lord. Listen, you're in the valley of decision when you're running between those two mountains. Get on Mount Zion. You know, the amazing thing about Mount Zion in the Old Testament, under the law, you remember when if they even touched that mountain, you know what happened to them? Under the law, under the Old Testament, they died if they touched that mountain. But, oh, brethren, it's much different under the gospel of grace. Now we can climb the mountain of God. Now we can get close to God. It's not a mountain that causes fearing and trembling. It's a mountain that causes peace and joy. Joshua makes this statement. Go forward in your Bibles about 50 pages. Well, not that much. Go forward about 30 pages. You should come to the book of Joshua. I want you to notice what. Now, who was speaking in Deuteronomy 30? I know God was speaking, but through whom was God speaking in Deuteronomy 30? All right, He was speaking through Moses. Now, in Joshua chapter 24, I want you to listen to what Joshua says to the people. Does Moses make it clear to the people that they have a choice to make? Now Joshua says the same thing. In Joshua chapter 24, look at verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, the Word of God says, now therefore, fear the Lord. Do you know the only reason I ever stay in the valley of decision? There's only one reason I stay in the valley of decision. You know what the reason is? I do not, what? I don't fear the Lord. See, the devil distorts my mind into thinking, oh, well, God's long-suffering and gracious, and I can stay in this valley. You can't stay in the valley. The day of the Lord's near in the valley of decision. So He says, now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth and put away the gods. Do you have any gods in your life? Do you have any gods in your life? Yes, you do. Put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Do you have a choice to make? Here's what Elijah said. Elijah said to these same people, he said, how long halt ye between what? Two opinions. How long halt ye between these two opinions? Where are you when you're halted between two opinions? You're in the valley. Where are most people today? They're halted between two opinions. Never have really decided for sure which way they're going to go. Multitudes in the valley of decision. Can churches be that way? Can a whole church be that way? Just halted between two decisions. Here's what the Word of God says about the church at Laodicea. He said, because thou art, you remember the word he used there? Lukewarm and not hot or cold. You see the two mountains there? You're either hot or cold. He said, and because you're lukewarm, where are they geographically if they're lukewarm? They're in the valley of decision. And he said to that church, because thou art not hot or cold, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The church at Laodicea, God says, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Lukewarmness in the church, God will spew the church out of his mouth. Go with me in closing to one other scripture. We'll close right here, but it's important that you look at this. Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. I want you to see some folks that got out of the valley. They got out of the valley of decision. Listen, in Acts chapter 2, please look in your Bibles. We'll close right here. You remember a man told Paul one time, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. You remember that? Almost you persuaded. I've had people tell me that. Brother Billy, I almost have decided to really serve the Lord. Well, you know what Paul said to that man? He said, I wish you were almost and altogether. I wish you were completely following the Lord. Almost won't get it. If you're almost persuaded to be a Christian, you're still in the valley of decision. You haven't decided yet. Acts chapter 2, Peter's preaching on the day of Pentecost. He preached to those people. He told them what was wrong in their lives. He said that same Jesus, this is Acts 2, verse 36. Acts 2, verse 36, he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That same Jesus that you crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Now listen. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Listen, brethren, you can leave here this morning and say, I stepped on your toes. If all I did was step on your toes, if all you did was feel convicted, if all you feel is remorse, if you don't repent, I've missed the mark, and you have decided to go in the wrong direction. If you don't make a change in your life today, if I don't make a change in my life today because of what God's saying to us, the day of the Lord's near. What are we going to do? He said, they were pricked in their heart. Were they cut to the heart or were they pricked in their heart? They were pricked in their heart. They were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter, men and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know what he told them to do? Now, let's forget about his exact words, but let's go back to the analogy of multitudes in the valley of decision. What was he, you just tell me in your own words, what was he telling them to do in the geographical lesson that we're using? Get out of the valley. That's what he's telling them. Get out of the valley. They said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, here's what he told them to do. Then Peter said unto them, repent. And what? Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Did he call them out? He said, what was the command? If they wanted to get out of the valley of decision, what was the first thing yet they had to do? This wasn't all they had to do, but that was the first step. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Do you hear this promise that was made here? If you repent and are baptized, you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And now notice, you might say, well, that was just back there on the day of Pentecost. You listen to the next verse. He says, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you've been called from death to life, you've been called to repent and be baptized. And you have been promised the remission of sins and the gift of the Holy Ghost if you'll get out of the valley of decision. May God help us, everyone, to examine ourselves and consider our ways. May God help us to get out of the valley of decision in whatever way we're still in the valley is my prayer for Christ's sake.